Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Player Development First podcast. This is episode 12 with Curtis Smith. Curtis is the Hudson Valley Community College women's head coach. He also is the head coach for the New York Shockers women's team. And he also does a lot of supplemental training programs and private training with Bisterra Soccer, based out of Albany, New York. I met Curtis back in 2016 when we were both working as a camp coach at UK Elite Soccer. So it's great to see him and his journey to where he's at now, coaching at colleges and women's adults teams, and also within the youth setups in Albany, New York. It's great to have him on. Thanks very much for listening, everybody. Hey, Curtis, thanks very much for coming on the podcast today, mate.
No, it's an absolute pleasure, mate. I've listened to a few of your podcasts recently, and I really like what you're doing, so happy to help.
Thank you very much, mate. Well, with all my guests, I like to go back to the start, mate. So where did you grow up, and what was your first introduction to soccer?
So I grew up in a small town in Mid Wales back in the UK, and I was very lucky, really, from the sense that there was kind of Welsh Premier League team there, which is kind of the highest level you can play in Wales, unless you kind of took your team over to England to play, like a Cardiff City, Swansea, etc. Yeah. So it was a really passionate football town. Kind of grew up in the Newtown Academy and kind of went from there, really.
Brilliant. Okay. And did you play all through the academy age groups?
Yeah, played all through the academy age groups, the youth team, reserve team. And then, you know, like a lot of coaches, really kind of figured out towards the end of my youth career there that maybe wasn't going to make that pro step that I hoped.
Yep.
So really kind of got into coaching from there at an early age. And, you know, I'm kind of really happy that I was able to do that so young, to be honest, because it really helped give me a head start on the coach that I am today. So.
And what was your first introduction to the coaching? Did you take some grassroots teams, or what was your first intro?
Yeah, 100%. You know, a lot of the grassroots teams are obviously volunteer coaches who are looking for as much help as they can have. So, you know, even me at 16, you know, anyone was kind of happy to have me come in and help and kind of work with the kids. So that was kind of my introduction to there, and just fell in love with it, honestly, mate. So from the moment I started doing it, just building that relationship with the kids, seeing the smile on their face, it was just something that really kind of made me feel good whenever I came away from there. So really loved it.
And so from a young age, did you start doing some coaching education as well then with the Welsh?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, I was really lucky. When you go to college in the UK, which college in the UK is from 16 to 18, as opposed to 18, I was lucky enough to actually go on a football academy course in my town. So the way that was structured was you would train 2-3 times a week with your kind of class. But then you would also work on different coaching licenses, sports science, stuff like that. So there wasn't too many of them around at the time. So I kind of feel very lucky that one of those was in my kind of small little town in Mid Wales here.
Yeah, so. I would have loved that myself back at that age. That's great. So did you do your level, what was it, 1 and 2 back then?
Yeah, I think it started with I start to lose track of what all these licenses are called now when you're in the US and in the UK. But certainly started on what was called the football leaders back then, which is kind of your introductory kind of 2-3 hour course that you would do in the evening or a weekend, and then done my C license pretty early, actually, when I was 17 or 18. And then kind of went on to my B, started to like kind of do some of the coursework and stuff for my B when I went to university then. So yeah.
Where did you study at university?
Studied at a place called University of South Wales, which is kind of based in the Cardiff area. And again, I feel like I've been very lucky on my path here. It was actually a football academy course that I studied in university. So we kind of had a close link with Cardiff City FC.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing facilities there. That's where I'd done my UEFA B, was with those guys, with Craig Gill, was it?
Okay, yeah. I actually remember Gilly, yeah.
Yeah, so no, it was a great course. That was great. So you went from there, did you? Was it around that time, did you have a thought that this is a career that you wanted to do, and maybe you had thoughts about America?
To be honest with you, America kind of fell into my lap. I was kind of doing a bit of work at Cardiff City FC at the time. And you realize pretty quickly in the UK, to be honest, that, you know, even at the academies, a lot of the jobs are part-time. And, you know, even at Cardiff City, there was only two or three people there, mostly in the 18s or head of phases, that were full-time coaches. So, you know, I was a performance analyst at the time with Cardiff and really enjoying learning off a lot of the coaches there at a young age. But UK Elite kind of came into my university during January at one time, looking for coaches for the summer. And I just thought, you know, what an experience to go out there, do a bit of traveling, but also get some coaching experience. I think was kind of something that really appealed to me back then. So.
Brilliant, mate. And that's obviously where me and you met back in, I think it was 2016, over one summer. Was that the year that you came out first, or were you out before that?
Yeah, that was actually my first year. So my first experience of America. So I remember kind of meeting you guys, and you had a little bit more experience with UK Elite than I did, and kind of being in America. So it's nice to have that bit of experience being with you guys.
Yeah, we just came out the year before and then the 9 months, and then we were back out again for the following year. But it's brilliant. And then at that year, did you stay a couple of years with UK Elite? And whereabouts were you based?
So I was based in New York originally, in Westchester, and from there kind of went to Philadelphia kind of throughout the summer and kind of moving into the fall. But I was only actually there for the kind of 6 month periods. And from there, I kind of went back home, started doing a bit of work with Shrewsbury Town Football Club with the academy there. But again, you know, I was kind of really looking to come back out, as I really love my experience out here and, you know, working with all the different teams and parents. And I just think the whole American experience of working on the youth side was, you know, was really a real positive for me, kind of really engaging with the parents, the atmosphere at games. And, you know, I just felt like it was something that I wanted to come back to. So,
yeah, it really is. I mean, you're right, whenever, you know, there's so many clubs back home, but they actually make a career out of it and be able to coach, you know, every night. It's just, America is that platform.
Yeah, 100%. I think I was actually reading a few weeks back here that Graham Potter, I believe, had a similar thing where he came out to America early in his career, done stuff. Yeah, before he went back to the UK. So for me, I just don't think you can put a price on the hours that you can get in America. You know, coaching all day, be it camps, learning to manage players, and then teams like 4 or 5 nights a week. I think that's a kind of an experience you kind of struggle to get over in the UK.
If you think of it like as an apprenticeship or whatever, like, you know, like if you're in an industry, or if you come out for a 9 month period and you've got 3 or 4 teams that you're working with and you've got a summer camp and you're surrounded by other coaches, I feel like it just sets you up for and also I feel like UK Elite, I've talked about it a lot, but they give their staff training, I thought was amazing when I was out the first year. Just gives you a real great grounding in coaching multiple age groups, and obviously where you take it from there is up to yourself. But that was brilliant, mate. So you did you come out again with another company?
Yeah, I kind of done my bit of time at Shrewsbury Town over in the UK. Felt like I was, you know, again, just wanted to get back out and do as much coaching as I can, and took a job with Global Premier Soccer, based in upstate New York in Albany. And again, really just loved that, coaching teams, doing the camps, all that stuff. Again, just getting as many hours in as I could, and kind of going from there. So, yeah.
Wait a minute. What was there a certain club that you were with there?
Yeah, so Global Premier Soccer was actually the club itself at the time.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, yeah, it was called GPS Albany. Was okay. Kind of the name.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it grew a lot as I was there. And again, I don't think you can put a price on just working with 5 or 6 other coaches, being in the office with them throughout the day, and just bouncing ideas off each other. It's just, you know, in terms of your development as a coach, is something that I think is kind of just one of the most important things as you're kind of trying to make that step and improve yourself as a coach. So,
and so, mate, at what stage then did you move away from them, and were you working for other clubs, or what's your current role?
Yeah, so from there, I actually had an opportunity to that someone kind of invested in me to start a club in an area that kind of really needed one. So it was an area that had, in the years past, had 400 or 500 players in a rec program, but had never really had a travel club per se. So we actually started a club there and grew really quickly, got to 7 or 8 teams. The people in the area were very very receptive and open to it, as they were looking for that next step and didn't want to have to travel 45 minutes an hour to kind of play on a travel team. So kind of done that. And honestly, as difficult as it was starting a business and coaching, just learning so much about business within that and how to structure kind of the way that you run things and support coaches and provide training, again, was kind of thrown in the deep end, but learned a lot there, kind of trying to build that from the ground up. So
Brilliant. And did you take all the teams yourself?
yeah, I think I know you kind of started your own club a few years back here as well. I think that's always the way it starts.
Yeah.
Every new team that comes in, 4 or 5 teams at once, sometimes calling ahead to be like, look, I might be 5 minutes late to the game here because you're just traveling from game to game to game to game.
I don't know how you manage your teams, mate. That's something else. That's hats off to you for that. But yeah, maybe that's brilliant. So, what was the timeline for that club then? Were you working there for quite a while, or what was the trajectory of it?
Yeah, I've done a couple of years there. And then we actually brought in another coach who was more local to that area. And it kind of got to the point where I was traveling 1.5 hours from where I live, leaving the house at 7 in the morning, getting home at midnight. And there just became a time where, as much as I was loving it, it just became too much. And so from there, we kind of passed it on to the coach that was kind of more local. So at least I felt like I was kind of leaving it in good hands from there and wasn't just kind of leaving them in the lurch, really. So,
Brilliant. And so what's your current role, Curtis?
I have kind of 3 roles at the moment, which I think is kind of interesting because they're all so different. One of those roles is a company called Bestera Soccer Training, which is a private supplemental training company. Kind of focusing on camps, clinics, and private training. And then we also work with a lot of teams providing like supplemental training to them too. And I also coach a community college women's team called Hudson Valley Community College.
Brilliant.
And then I also do a WPSL women's team called the New York Shockers. So kind of trying to balance all those 3 is, again, pushing myself a little bit at times, but I just love every one of them so much, and they're so different that I can't really see myself doing anything else. So,
Brilliant. And so
yeah.
what's with your role with the supplemental training the training company Pestera. Do you have a specific role within that? Are you a coach with private training, supplements as a clinics, camps? What would your role entail there?
Yeah, so I definitely dive into a bit of everything, camps, clinics, team training, but my main role is head of team training. So we kind of work with 6 or 7 local clubs in the area. Some of them will go in once a week and coach every single one of their teams. Other clubs will go in and do a skill session one night a week and kind of have as many of their players that are interested in more coming along and doing that. And others will do coaching education for stuff like that as well. And honestly, I think it's very valuable because I think US soccer is starting to do a really good job of providing a platform for grassroots coaches to start on their D license or whatever it may be. But kind of we're able to kind of go and meet the coaches at where they're at as well. So being a volunteer coach, you haven't always got that time to go and do extra courses at the weekend, et cetera, traveling 1 hour away. But for us, kind of going in and meeting the people where they're at, is something that I think they find pretty valuable as well. So.
Course, mate. Yeah, and then your role with the New York Shockers. How did you get involved in that? And what level is it? What would your typical season or week look like with that?
Yeah, so we're kind of a spring slash summer team. So we kind of start when the college season finishes for the spring, so around the end of April. We go to sort of mid-July to July time. It's kind of through my relationship with Becerra, they kind of knew someone that set up the team originally. And to be honest with you, it's a team that's not attached to a club. They simply just do the a women's team and a men's team. So it's kind of something in the area that kind of everyone can really get behind as a club, as a neutral kind of organization. So I really feel like it's something that, you know, I can be part of and, you know, feel really good about doing and being involved with. So.
Right, I mean, so is that when you say club neutral, is it, does that mean that you don't have an academy structure as such? It's just the women?
Yeah, no academy structure beneath it. So we do have a lot of different premier clubs and et cetera within the area already. So there's no real need for that. We're kind of just a next step for those players when they go to college or come back home. We're kind of giving them that kind of opportunity to carry on playing. And I think I've seen it kind of explode in our area. I'm not sure about yours over the last few years, to be honest, just having that extra opportunity to carry on playing. And as you know, back in the UK, you know, there's so many teams that life kind of begins at 18, 19 in the UK in terms of soccer. Whereas here, I kind of felt like by the time you get to 19, 20 and 21, your college career is over. That was kind of when you stopped playing. So I think it's really nice to have that continued opportunity for players at a high level to carry on going.
100%. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of clubs down here, the Fort Worth Vaqueros and the Denton Diablos and stuff. I know there's a lot of people that graduate college go and play there. You know, it's a really good level. But yeah, I mean, that's brilliant. And I suppose for you, it's nice where you get a mix of coaching youth, the youth side of things, and then you also get that, you know, people that are just graduating college, and you get the adult, those elements of coaching as well. You're able to bring in, I suppose, more tactical elements and stuff in that regard, as opposed to maybe you working with youth or in a private environment.
Yeah, I think a lot of us as coaches, we're kind of adrenaline junkies in a way, because we do like to have that feeling of a tight, close game, and you score a goal in the last minute or whatever it may be that kind of brings you away with a smile on your face and kind of, you know, being involved in that experience with a team. So I really do love what I'm doing with Becerra. But that kind of fills the void there for me in terms of having that game day experience as well.
Yeah, it says that it's the ball for you sometimes, isn't it? Yeah, when you get that, seeing a team progress and, you know, something that you've maybe worked on in practice, they've been able to implement that in games. You know, it's very rewarding, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, so.
Brilliant, mate. And so what about your role with Hudson Valley Community?
Is that... Yeah, so kind of as I said, it's everything I do is very, very different. So yeah. Whereas the New York Shockers team is pretty high level, to be honest. We have a lot of D1 players. We have one girl who's an under-17 US international. So that's very high level. Whereas I go to Hudson Valley Community College and it's a lot lower level, but it's still a really valuable experience. So a lot of players who have just played high school, some of them who haven't even played at Premier clubs, to be honest, throughout their career. So kind of having that balance for me of coaching, you know, players that need that extra support technically, kind of gives me the really challenged me as a coach, kind of going between those two levels and seeing what the differences are really. So.
Right, mate. I feel like you've got a great gig going on with all three of your gigs, where you've got the youth side of things, you've then got you're within the local community college, you're in the women's the high level team with the New York Shockers. So you're kind of like a face in the community there, are you really, with all the soccer background that you've got and the amount of experiences that you're and the amount of players, I suppose, that you're engaging with on a weekly basis. You know, it's great to see, you know, that you've got that sort of that hybrid approach and within your role.
Yeah, 100%. I think as coaches, we're always kind of looking for that next step in our career. But the things that I'm doing now, I feel like I can kind of interlink them together and kind of just really work on growing with the organizations that I'm already with. So it's kind of nice to, like you said, be someone that's kind of hopefully being a bit more of a face in the community as the longer I stay here, because setting down roots and having something that you can really see grow and develop, it, I think, is a really rewarding experience as well. As well as trying, sort of getting that new job or moving to that next level, it's good to see that progress over, you know, a 5-year period or so as well. So.
Brilliant, mate. So I wanted to ask you, because obviously myself with PD1, we do a lot of supplemental clinics as well for other programs, for other clubs as well. We're a club, but we also run a lot of supplemental clinics, finishing clinics, striking clinics, position specific, agility, ball mastery. We do a lot of clinics. Yeah. So how would you at Vistera? Because I know you guys are, you know, I've seen some of your stuff. It looks absolutely fantastic. Well, how do you guys structure a private lesson at Vistera?
Yeah, so we tend to have 4 or 5 coaches working at one time. And then it'll be 4 or 5 different groups coming onto that field at once. Be it one player in a group or be in it, you know, 4 friends from one club that are coming in for a training. We kind of usually go up to like 6 players is usually kind of the max that we do within that environment.
Yep.
Typically, we'll have everyone kind of warm up together to start. So for that first 10-minute period, and usually that warm-up is, we call it like the prep. So it's kind of getting your mind and body ready for the session. So whether that's stuff through kind of footwork patterns without the ball, building into stuff with the ball. And then usually we'll kind of, you know, make it intense with a little bit of competition as well. You know, first team to score in the mini goal after like a kind of mini circuit. But yeah, just kind of getting them excited to be training and kind of warming up their bodies ready to play. So that 10-minute period is certainly very important for us.
Brilliant. So you'll do the prep, and then would you go into then obviously the players' needs or what they've requested to work on? Is that what you would do?
Yeah, so I think there's a mixture of 2 things, really. Is we kind of have one topic that we focus on throughout the entire week. So be that 1 week we're working on how to move your body on the ball. So there might be some skill work in there. There might be some, you know, footwork patterns in there, etc. And that will be the topic for the whole week, regardless of the clients that come in. So we kind of see that those players that come in with us and, you know, train with us regularly, they're kind of hitting every spot. And we're not kind of missing out on everything by just focusing on, you know, that one thing all the time.
Yep.
And then obviously for us as coaches, that makes it easier as well, because we're only having to plan the one session and then adapt it based on the level of the player that we have.
Yep.
So, because as you know, trying to go in and plan, you know, 50, 60 sessions in a week is kind of a full-time job in itself. Yeah. There.
And so what sort of themes would you work on you know, is there like a structure to the themes that you work on? So what, maybe for instance, would 1 week you work on, say, ball striking, next week it's 1v1 moves, or next week it's receiving? Is that sort of the format that you would work in?
Yeah, do you know it's interesting, because I think that's how we started. Right. It's kind of just going through all those different points and changing on a weekly basis. But now we've kind of structured it more, you know, almost like a school curriculum. So the guy that kind of heads up our private training, James Beeston, he's one of his favorite quotes that he always says to me is, you wouldn't try to teach history, geography, and math all in one lesson. So we'll have that one focus in the week, but then the next week we'll have a similar focus, be it dribbling or ball mastery, but we'll kind of move on to a different kind of specific outcome within that topic. So we might do ball mastery, moving your body in the ball, for a 4-week period before we move on to something else. Yeah. Just to really ingrain the different points and kind of build on them as we go throughout the month, really.
Yeah. You know what? It's something that I've actually been thinking about in my own coaching recently. Kind of on a different topic, I suppose, but you know, a lot of the drills or the themes that I work on, I feel like for recently I've been kind of sticking to the similar ones, because I was always under the impression of, like, whenever if I do the same session, you know, 2 times in a row, for me, yeah, kind of like, oh, kind of like you're a lazy coach, you didn't put the prep, you know, the prep time in to plan that session, and you're like, I'll just do the one I just done from Tuesday or something, which I'd never done. I was always like, you know, planning a completely different session. But I feel like whenever you know, if you've done a lesson and then you've maybe you do it again maybe the following week, or you do it again in quick succession, you really do see that growth of not just with like the activities or the drills you're doing, but with like the understanding of it. And then like their application of that in game-like environments, I feel like is really good. So I really love your director's is thinking there, is philosophy. That's brilliant. And so what would you then, would you guys do a lot of camps, clinics as well?
Yeah. So summer is kind of our main camp period. And then obviously during the school holidays, et cetera, as well. So we have, you know, we're getting, you know, over 100 players on every camp that we do, and sometimes a lot more than that. So, you know, and I know when the boys first started 5 or 6 years ago, it was, you know, 10, 15 players, all different ages, trying to kind of make that work. So it's really good now that we're at a point where we do have that lot of players, because it does make the experience that we can give even better. So we're putting players with the same age, same ability. We might have 2 or 3 different groups within one age group. So that kind of makes the whole experience and the way that we tailor the sessions and the camp even, you know, even more valuable to the players that attend, really. So that would be one aspect. And then, yeah, certainly doing different clinics and stuff. A lot of what we do there will be working with the clubs as well. So going into a certain club and putting on a ball mastery clinic for their players year 12 and below once a week, or a ball striking clinic. And again, we always kind of speak to the club about, you know, what are your needs? And then we'll kind of give them, you know, what we can offer as a result of kind of the feedback that they've given us, really. So.
Brilliant, mate. And would you do a lot of private training? Like, what would your weekly schedule look like? Would you do a lot of like, would that be before the kids go to play for their clubs? Obviously you guys are club neutral. Would you guys do that just prior to them going to the team training weekends? What would it look like?
Yeah, I'd say typically within the week, we tend to work within like a 3 to 6 period, somewhere within there. And it works out pretty well. A lot of the kids will come straight from school to our sessions, but they're not, that also gives them the freedom to go into their club sessions as well. And kind of the way that we structure the sessions, we always feel like our sessions are not so much about the workout within private sessions, but more about the teaching and the, you know, what players can learn within that. So, you know, we're not necessarily having players run away with sweat on their heads and kind of go into their next session and not able to put a performance in. We're kind of really focused on that learning aspect instead. So it means that, one, we can keep the clubs happy because the kids are still going in and putting a performance there. And two, you know, anyone can kind of do fitness at any point, but we feel like our speciality is, you know, hopefully our knowledge as coaches and of the game. So that's kind of our real focus within those. So,
Okay. It's refreshing to hear that companies like Bestera and stuff and yourselves, they've actually got a philosophy around and a structure behind doing the private training. I mean, I'm sure you say you say it yourself. Anytime I'm on a field and I'm doing a private lesson, you know, I've got my key needs of what I want that player to work with. I normally don't really do very many private lessons anymore, but if I do, it's probably players that I know, or you know, I've spent a bit of time getting to know that player, what it is they want to work on, what position they play. I'm gonna be trying to create a session around that player's specific needs. Again, I've got the time to do that because I don't take a lot of them. But you know, I just so much, I see, you know, other private trainings and they just got kids dribbling through a cone, soul roll at this cone, kick a ball in the goal, start again. It's just like, it's just a waste of time. I feel like, you know, for parents, I'd love them to, you know, if you are going to pick out a private trainer or a training institution like Bestera or whatever, you know, really do your, for me, I really to say, do your background. Like, what do you really want to get out of that coach? You know, have a conversation. Are they interested, or are they just saying, turn up and do this? I really think that's a big one I see a lot of. You know, I really think it's institutions like Bestera, and you know, there's so many other ones out there that are great. You know, it's really, if you see institutions like that, it's well worth investing in your time, you know, for some real structured supplemental training rather than just a trainer that just throws out some cones and has them dribbling around kicking the goal, you know.
100%. And I certainly think that, you know, private training itself, especially with, you know, the structure that players seem to need over in the US, You know, it's very difficult for players to get together in, you know, massive suburbs far away from their friends. And then being in upstate New York, like there's snow on the ground like 5 months a year here. So again, very difficult. But, you know, kind of the way I look at it is if a player was struggling at school, what would they do? They would probably have a one-to-one tutor in outside time to kind of help them catch up. But that same question, why couldn't it apply to those players at the top? So someone that's doing really well, you know, if you can give them that one-to-one help and support, they may hopefully grow even more than that with that extra support and time. So
100%.
That's kind of the way I look at it. So,
and whenever I'm doing some private training too, I mean, obviously there's a place and time for some ball mastery work or whatever, but I'm always, you know, I'm always saying to the parents, I'm showing them these moves and stuff, but they need to be able to do that in their own time too. Like, it's no point that I'd rather them go ahead and play, you know, every day for 20 minutes rather than come to me for an hour a week, you know. In that regard, so I really think some individual time really, really important for players that are really wanting to get that next level, and for a parent that's there, you know, there's so many activities that you could find online that you could be getting your parent, you know, not that I'm trying to drive any business away from myself or anyone else, but I'm just saying, like, you know, if you're thinking to yourself, if your kid's just going down a 1 hour practice per week with a private trainer and then their own team training, really, you're going to be limited, I think, in the growth. If they really want it and you really want to see that, they've got to be putting the time in on their own as well. Obviously, training appropriately is needed, but there's so much online that you could go on and find that will help that player out, you know?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, really that conversation needs to be had with the player and the parent, especially the player, is what is it that you want to achieve? So, you know, if we have a 16-year-old that comes in and is like, you know, I want to play in the MLS one day, then that player has to get treated a little bit differently in the way that we kind of work with them, because, you know, it's like, look, this is what you need to be doing. You need to be playing every day. You need to be, you know, working out an hour a day, whatever it is. Whereas you have a player that's maybe just playing for fun and wants to get better for their travel team or whatever it is, then that's obviously going to look a little bit different, but you can still learn and grow within that. So,
100%, man. That's brilliant. So what's the future goals look like for you, mate? Have you got any other aspirations? I mean, I said this the last podcast guest as well. I don't want to ever shoot anyone in the foot with, like, you know, their current employers, but what have you got any ambitions that are anything within coaching that you'd maybe like to explore in the future? Would it be coaching other teams? Would it be working within a certain organization? Would it be, or would it be maybe doing some more coaching licensing? What does the future look like for you in coaching?
Yeah, I think with the things that I'm doing now in the area, I finally feel like I'm at a point where I can grow with them and carry on learning with the people that I'm working with. So, you know, for example, with Bastera Soccer Training, you know, we've done a lot of work on, like, with a core group of coaches, like the six or seven that we have, but we're now getting to that point where we're growing so quickly where, you know, we're having to bring other people in. We're starting to expand to other areas. And because of that, for me and my role as a, you know, head of team training, there becomes the next aspect of this, like, right, how are we going to structure training correctly? How are we going to make sure that a Bastera coach here does the same things as a Bastera coach there? So kind of trying to build those, you know, systems and processes so that we have, you know, the same product no matter where you are and what you see. So yeah, and for me, that's something that's really starting to excite me, because I feel like, I'm not saying I'm the pinnacle of all coaches here, but I like to think I can hopefully impart a little bit of experience on other people and kind of, you know, continue to learn and grow with the coaches that I really respect that I work with now as well. So
brilliant, Curtis. Yeah. What's the seasons looking like for you too, just with the New York Shockers and Hudson Valley? Are you underway at the minute, or what's it looking like?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously Hudson Valley, the college, is during the fall mostly, and we're kind of in the off season in the spring now, just kind of training one or two mornings a week, early doors. And then the Shockers now begins in the first weekend in May, I believe, is our first game. So kind of working towards that and building that in as well. And again, it comes with so many different aspects, not just the coaching, as I'm sure you know, like the recruiting for the Shockers, for the college team, etc.
Yeah, what does that look like for you, mate? How are you going about recruiting for the Shockers?
For the Shockers, we have a good core of local players from last year, which is, you know, which is a good start, obviously. So really, for us, it's about kind of add in those four or five, you know, maybe players that are able to make that step up from that are a little bit younger, have just gone to colleges, but also are maybe players that we have that are interested from out of state or staying from the summer, like international players that, you know, maybe we want to stay for the summer at local colleges as well. So we had a really good season last year. We lost one game and fortunately just came second and missed out on the, like, the kind of national playoffs. So obviously the goal this year is for, hopefully for us to build on that and go one step further. So
brilliant, mate. Well, best luck to everyone at New York Shockers, and for Hudson Valley Community Soccer as well, mate. And yourselves at Bastera, looks like, I mean, I've followed you guys for a while on social media. It looks absolutely fantastic what you're doing, and best of luck with everything else. It's great to see, and for yourself as well, mate. Congratulations and all success.
Yeah, you too, mate. I said before we came onto this call, I've kind of been following you for a little while now on social media, etc. And I always kind of like what you're doing, and see the message that you're trying to send is kind of really player development focused. So it's really good to kind of, you know, see that is becoming the focus for a lot of people these days. And ultimately, hopefully we can have better players, better coaches, and, you know, hopefully, you know, make soccer better for everyone in the future here. So
100%, mate. It was amazing having you on, mate. Thank you so much, Curtis. And appreciate you. Hopefully we'll get you on again sometime soon, mate. And hopefully we can stay in touch.
Yeah, love it. Thanks a lot, Greg. Hopefully speak to you soon here.
Cheers, mate.
Bye-bye.